Yeah, God does all the thinking for a Christian.
You're serious?
Yes.
You don't have thoughts? God has your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about morality and what is
So
a
you
correct
don't believe in
mindset.
anything? God has your beliefs for you?
Yes.
So then when people go to hell, it's because God made them believe in the things that make them go to hell?
That is actually true, yes.
You're a Calvinist?
Yes, actually, I'm surprised you got that
Fucking A.
because.
We know evolution is a fact, yeah.
Can you be 100% sure of anything?
That I'm having some kind of experience, yeah.
So, without a doubt, evolution is 100%
Without any reasonable
true.
doubt, yeah. There are limitations to human knowledge, but knowing something doesn't mean it's not possible for the thing to be false. Because if that were the case, then there just wouldn't be anything that fits that criteria, except for definitions, I suppose.
Okay. So there is room for doubt, you though, right?
Evolution, because it's a scientific idea, in principle, it can be shown to be false, but it's not false. This is like the shape of the earth, right? It's not flat. We're not going to learn tomorrow that it is flat. So
Yeah.
we can scientifically test the claim. The scientific claim about the shape of the earth is just a claim about nature. It's knowable. We know the shape of the earth. It's not flat. So, no, there is no room for the earth might be flat. There just isn't. And evolution has reached that same state. We know that, on like in an extremely broad sense, we know that Hardy-Weinberg equilibrium never, ever presents itself. So allele frequencies always change. That's evolution. And then there's a more narrow, well, I guess that kind of is narrow. And then there's the broader, I don't know. Narrow and broad is kind of like you can use them interchangeably here. The implications of evolution, that's another thing where, yeah, we have extremely strong evidence of those things as well.
Okay. So again, and you're 100% sure. The evidence supports the idea that evolution is 100% true.
I'm as certain of that as I am the shape of the earth. Yep.
Okay. So it's not possible you're wrong. You're 100%. There's no way you're wrong about your claim, right?
There can be bits and pieces of it that we fix over time, but evolution as a factual thing, a fact of the earth, is just very plainly and well established.
Is it possible you're wrong in, say, 10 or 15 years?
No, we're not going to learn tomorrow that organism went that the organisms of the past were different than the organisms of the present. That won't happen.
Right, but so do you think it's possible it's a simulation?
If it were a
Is that a possibility
simulation,
for you?
if it were a simulation, then evolution would still be true. It's just that evolution would be a fact of the simulation.
Well, no, that I mean, we're just the simulation. I mean, we're being simulated. We're not actually, there's no such thing as evolution. It's just an idea that's in the simulation.
Well, then
Because we've never
that
observed
would be what
evolution.
evolution is. Like, you ever play Minecraft?
Yes.
Steve has a blue shirt, right?
Yes.
But it's not a real shirt, and Steve isn't real.
Right.
But in the simulation, well, now we're calling Minecraft a simulation. But in Minecraft, Steve does
Kind
have a
of
blue
is.
shirt. So it's still true. It's just true in a different sense than we previously understood.
Okay, but evolution can't be observed.
It has been like countless times. And if you're talking about the past, if something ha like nobody can observe anything in the past, but all of your thoughts occur, like every single thought you've ever had is your brain formulating an idea after all the information got to your brain. So then now you have to just say every single thing you've ever said or thought is follows the same criteria. Therefore, you shouldn't even believe it, or you can't even call your own thoughts true, which nobody thinks that except, well, maybe there are some people that think that, but I think they're weird and you should throw rocks at them. But if things in the past happened, they leave evidence behind. And so if you can find evidence, that's what it means to prove something. So yeah, we have extremely robust reasons for thinking that evolution is true.
Okay, so there's no way you're possibly wrong, right?
In general, no. Like I'll just go back to the shape of the Earth. It's not possible that the Earth is flat. Now, are there things about the Earth and its shape? Like, is saying the Earth is a sphere true? Well, yeah, except it's not a perfect sphere, so on and so forth. But the idea that it's flat is just absolutely false. So evolution is a fact.
Okay, but I mean, that idea, like the flat Earth idea, like, you know, 200 years ago, people would agree that the Earth was 100% flat and there was no...
That's not the case.
There's no dispute. No.
The flat Earth has... It was a fairly wide belief, like, in the Bronze Age and prior. At least, like, in the Near East, it was. That's why the Bible says the Earth is flat. But, ever since the Hellenistic period, nobody that's really familiar with the information thought the Earth was flat. 200 years ago, nobody thought the Earth was flat.
I didn't mean that, you know, that sort of a time gap, but, you know, in an era where people would agree, there's no dispute that the Earth is flat, right? It's widely agreed upon, and there's no prior, or there's no contradiction to the idea. I mean, people would agree it's 100% flat, but then new technology comes along, new science comes along, and then that idea is disputed, right?
Yeah. I mean, essentially what you're saying is, look, I can right now go to space and look at the shape of the Earth and see that it's not flat. And so I can know that it's not flat. But then you're arguing that the past doesn't work that way. I can't know that World War II happened. I can't know that evolution happened because it's in the past. I just fundamentally disagree. Because you don't know that when you go to space, there isn't a bunch of unicorn queef dust floating around in outer space. And as the photons of light from the flat Earth travel through the queef dust, it bends the light in a way so that the image that hits your retina looks like a sphere, but it isn't. The unicorn queef dust funhouse mirror theorem has not been disproven. But this is just complete solipsism at this point.
Well, my point is you can't 100% disprove something like that, right? On your basis, right?
Yeah, but this is just pure solipsism. So now we can't believe in anything.
That's according to your line of thinking, though.
Right? It's very much not my line of thinking that we can't know anything.
You agreed that it's, I mean, your idea has room for doubt, though. Therefore, it's not a fact and 100% correct.
That's just not what a fact is not something that can't be false. A fact is something known to be true.
So 100% that evolution is true, right?
All of the evidence says evolution is true, yeah.
All of the evidence. So what if there's evidence that contradicts the idea, which there is?
There isn't, but that evidence should be looked at to see if and to what extent that evidence holds up.
So who decides what's credible evidence?
Rational minds working together.
And who decides what a rational mind is?
The rational minds invent conventions to test their ideas.
Okay. And so when someone comes along,
we literally can't do anything else. So,
well, I mean, okay. So going back to, like, people thought the sun orbited the Earth for hundreds of years. And
yeah, they actually had fairly good reasons for thinking that. And quite a lot of it was because of they didn't have technology to be able to see otherwise.
Right. So on their way of thinking, their basis, they're 100% correct, and there's no way to disprove their line of thinking. So I'm saying, how do you know you're not in the same situation?
Because the limitations for them and their time and place are pretty easy to point out. When we had practically no technology, because they didn't really prove their ideas using technology, not to a very far extent, but
yeah,
to the extent that they had extremely limited prior knowledge and virtually no sophisticated technology, yeah, you're incapable of coming up with good high resolution answers to things. With evolution, we know all the prerequisite information required to know about evolution. We know about genetics. I mean, that's kind of all we need to know, is that we understand the science of genetics, because evolution posits that when organisms reproduce, they pass on DNA to the next generation, and that DNA is somewhat different. That's what causes all of the variations in populations. And so if life is the product of evolution from an original organism, then all life should be related to a specific extent. And that is exactly what we see.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm just trying to get you to admit that, you know, there's no way of knowing for sure. I mean, there's no way of proving that to be 100% true, and that idea
is,
might change.
Is what you just said true?
What?
Is what you just said, that there's no way to 100% prove that it's true, itself a true statement?
According to the Bible, it can be proven wrong. But if you're not going to go off the Bible, what? You're going to go off. So
I'm asking you, is the statement, you cannot have absolute knowledge, is that claim absolutely true?
On atheism, it is.
You have access to absolute knowledge?
On the biblical view, yeah.
What's your epistemic framework for that?
In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. I mean,
so
the
you're
scripture
able
can't
to
be
have.
Broken.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
No, you're good. I was.
So you use the Word being with God as a pathway to gaining absolute knowledge. How does that work? I'm an empiricist, so I use my senses to collect data, and then my brain to interpret that data to know things. So you don't do that. Now, because that's how I do it, apparently absolute knowledge has escaped me, because it doesn't do that. Could you tell me how things are known by you by the Word being with God in the beginning? How's that happen?
So, I mean,
does the Word access the home Wi-Fi? That meme's like 3 years old at this point. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. So basically, you know, trusting that God is all knowing and correct about, and I mean, just has absolute rule, and he's.
Did you say trusting in that?
Yeah. So.
So it's presupposed. So it's not rationalized. So you don't know it.
No, it's just presupposed that God knows everything and God is always right.
Okay, but that's just something that you presuppose. So you don't even know, the foundational thing that apparently grants absolute knowledge. So this is all falling apart. Now, you don't know it. You have faith in it. You presuppose it. Presuppose means it's
faith.
Unjustified. Means it comes before the rationing process or whatever. Not rationing, but
that's on your thought process, so like your worldview.
That's just what that word means. I don't have my own private language.
Like, just how you're the judge of what is correct and what's incorrect, why can't I use the Bible as my judge?
Well, you'd have to give a justification for it, and having faith isn't a justification.
Okay, well, on your worldview, I deem it correct, right? I use my own thinking and justification. Because I
my my fit. Worldview is not if I think it, therefore it's true. That's not at all my worldview. True is that which corresponds to reality. The Bible says the earth is flat. The Bible's not true.
The Bible doesn't say that, though.
Yes, it does. Multiple times it says that.
Verse.
Sure, it says God drew the circle of the earth over the chaotic waters.
Okay.
It says that the earth is like a pressed clay seat or a clay seal with raised edges. It says there is a dome firmament, which is polished like a metal shield or something like that, over the earth. There's a few other verses too, but it just very plainly calls the earth flat.
It doesn't, though. If you read the exact verses, those words aren't used.
Yeah, it's Hebrew. So people that know how to read Hebrew have accurately translated it. And it says, for example, God drew the circle of the earth over the chaotic waters.
So do you know what verse you're talking about? Do you actually have the
I could Google it real quick. I don't have it. I remember what the verses are or say, but I don't remember what chapter and verse they're in.
Okay, well, you're
it
reading
also says
them
the
wrong,
world sits on pillars, right? That
Again,
is what
pull,
it's,
pull
that is
verse.
What it says. Okay.
Because the you know, reading it word for word, it doesn't say that.
Okay, can you read Hebrew?
No, but even
think the people that translate it can read it?
Yeah, and it doesn't translate to what you're saying.
Okay. And how do you know that, considering you can't read Hebrew?
Because I've read the translation.
But the translation says God draws the circle of the earth over the chaotic waters.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't say that.
Okay. Why am I looking this up? If you know that it doesn't say that, don't you know what it is?
Yeah, so it doesn't say that, and you're saying it does.
Okay, what does it say?
It says he draped the shape of the earth over the water, you know, draping like a sheet, right?
What verse is this?
Pretty sure it's the one you're thinking of as well.
Yeah, which one? If you can remember that it said draped.
In Genesis.
No, buddy, you're just saying things.
I'm not.
Yes, you are, because you don't even know where this is in the Bible. You're just inventing an alternative narrative for what it's alternative translation.
You named the verse.
No, I didn't. I haven't named the verse once.
What? Okay.
What's a translation that you trust? Because we have quite a few to go through.
LSB, NIV.
LSB, NIV.
KJV.
Well, those are so different. The NIV and the KJV are so different.
They're not, though.
Okay. Are these in alphabetical order? Yeah, they are.
You know, I'm not getting anywhere here. If you're not willing to accept that, you know, your worldview is wrong in that it's 100% correct.
I have the verse here. Okay. And it's NIV. Now this one, I can put it on the screen, but I gotta, it's Proverbs, by the way.
Okay.
This doesn't use circle, but it says compass. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. So, you're probably right that probably none of the translations say drew a circle, but it's drawing a compass. What does that, what it, What is a compass? What does it mean to set a compass upon the face of the deep? It means to draw a circle around onto the chaotic waters. Because if you read Genesis 1, the earth pre-exists, but it's this chaotic, formless thing. The waters of the deep already exist. So, sure. And we can get more of the thing here, but it's probably just a series of disconnected. Oh, sorry, YouTube, I don't have this up. But let's see. I said it was 26. Yeah. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth, where there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were in their place, before the hills, before he made the world of its fields or any dust of the earth, I was there. He marked out the horizon on the face of the deep when he established the clouds above. What? Did this change the...
Might be somewhere else.
No, because it was literally verse 27. But now, why is it saying it differently? Now it's saying, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep. So, I don't know. I don't understand how we're in the same translation and it changed that word. But anyways, we're kind of off topic here from the beginning. So,
yeah. Do you have other people coming up?
There's some people waiting, but I don't know. Maybe they'll be boring.
Well,
if you don't want to stay, then I'm not going to bully you into staying.
No, it's okay. I feel like I'm not going to be able to go anywhere with this because, you know, you're set on your view, and I try to give you scripture for it, and, you know,
didn't convince you. I read the scripture, and it agreed with me. Yeah.
It didn't agree with you. It didn't say anything about flat earth.
Yes, it did. It said God set the compass over the waters.
What is that?
He also, I mean, we can
to do with flat earth.
Because if the earth, because if he created the earth by starting with waters and then formed the earth in the way that you place a compass over something, that sure as hell ain't creating a ball. But it also says that there is a firmament, a dome over the entire earth. You can't put a dome over a sphere.
So the word firmament can also be translated to sky, I'm pretty sure. The heavens above, it can be translated into those words as well.
Yeah, sure. And what shape did they think the sky was? A dome. And they thought that it very clearly says that the firmament is a real rigid structure.
Okay, could you pull up that verse, I guess?
I mean, there are several verses that talk about the firmament.
It's kind of a Christian propaganda thing, like that there's a flat earth and a firmament. If you just look at the translations and different translations for the words used, it disproves the flat earth idea.
What disproves the flat earth idea?
Just using better translation between words, like the word firmament, it can be translated into words like sky, you know, heavens.
Yeah. So what you have to do is understand the context of how it's used and when it was written. And really good translators know how to do that. There are very clearly theologically motivated Christian translations of the Bible. This has been known for a very long time.
That's why I gave you multiple translations, because they'll give you some of those different words. You know, if
the King James
something doesn't
version
look right,
was considered outdated the year it was published.
That's why I gave you multiple. Right.
And the NIV said it's like a compass.
Again, I don't know how that proves it's flat. We can observe the earth not being flat.
Yeah, I know, which is how we know the Bible is false.
Well, I'm trying to tell you the Bible, it wouldn't contradict itself. That's why there's different translations.
But the Bible definitely contradicts itself. How did King Saul die?
Oh my gosh. Because it says he fell on a spear, and then it says he fell on a sword.
No, in one, it says that he was killed in battle, and the other says he took his own life. Well, he wasn't really. He was killed by a, what are they, a Philistine? No, I don't remember. In one, he asks, I can't remember what group of people they are, sorry, to kill him. In the other one, it says he fell on his sword.
I think those could both be true.
You can't kill yourself and be killed by somebody else.
What if they make him kill himself?
That's not, no, that still doesn't work, and that's not what it said, or not what it says.
If a robber makes a lady kill herself, it's still considered murder, and she killed herself, right?
You can make a weird semantic argument like that, but that's not what the Bible says. If you're going to tell me, this is what you're arguing. Let's say there's a chapter and verse that says, and Jesus on May 30th, 20, was wearing a purple shirt and he never took it off the entire day. And then another chapter and verse says, on May 20th, year 20 or whatever date I said, the exact same date, Jesus wore a red shirt the entire day and he never took it off. Okay, those can't both be true. But if you're going to say, well, yeah, but what happened was the person that wrote that originally said LOL JK in one of them, and then it just, it never got copied into our modern Bibles. If you're going to say that something that's not in the Bible rescues the Bible, then the Bible doesn't say anything. Then we have no reason to think that the Bible, the original story, we just can't even know what the original story was if we're just going to do this kind of thing.
Well, both stories can be true.
You can imagine a way in which they can be true, but that's not what they say, and that's not what they are.
I didn't make up another story. I'm just using both accounts.
You made up the claim that, oh, when it says he killed himself, what really happened was a bunch of people surrounded him and said, fall on your sword, defeated King Saul, you beta.
I'm saying there's no way to, I mean, I haven't read that passage, so I'm not super familiar. But both those accounts could be true if you look at it, you know, from that perspective.
Right. If
there's
the Bible
very little information
doesn't say what it says, then the Bible is true. Great. I'm going to write a book tomorrow, and my book is going to say 2 + 2 = 5, but I'm just going to tell people, well, if one of those twos was a 3, then it's true. And I'm going to claim that my book is perfect and inspired, and nobody else can even know anything unless they believe in my book. And every time my book is wrong, I'm just going to say, yeah, but if the book said something else, then it would be true.
So using your same logic right now, I told you the scripture never says the earth is flat, and then you went and made it sound like
describes
it
earth
said something
sitting on
it didn't
pillars.
Say.
It's flat. It has raised edges. It's pressed
it never
like
says
a clay
the word
seal.
Flat. It never says the world is flat.
Yes, it does.
Pull up a verse. It doesn't. You're you know doing what you said I was doing, which is making up stories to confirm these verses say this.
Right.
You know.
I can acknowledge that the word flat probably is used nowhere, but what does it mean that the earth is pressed like a clay seal with raised edges? Ball looks like? It's in Job. It's Job 38. So let me pull it up here. Oops. Here we go. And we'll read a couple verses before. Have you ever given, this is God telling Job how much better God is than everybody else. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it. The earth takes shape like a clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. Do you know any... Have you ever seen a garment that has edges that you can shake out in the shape of a sphere? A spherical garment with edges? What? No.
So a sphere, it definitely has edges on any side of it. I mean, just literally look it up on Google.
This is talking about shaking out the edges.
Look it up.
That's what you do when you get sand on your beach towel. You grab it by the edges and you shake it out.
So
shake it off.
A sphere doesn't have edges, right? Do spheres have edges? Because they absolutely do.
No, they don't. I don't know what you think an edge is.
The end of an object.
That would be the end of an object.
What? In that, what? That's what I just said.
I can grant you... Not really. I can grant you that a sphere begins and ends in certain places. Sure, we'll call these the edges.
Okay.
What is the language, if somebody had never read the Bible before, let's just do it this way. Let's see if you can do this. If nobody had, a person had never read the Bible before, and you asked them to draw a picture of what this highlighted section says, give me the rationale for why they would draw a sphere.
Because, you know, have you ever heard someone say, I'd follow you to the edge of the earth, you know? It's a common phrase. We know the earth isn't flat. Statement can be true. We understand.
I know that humans know the earth isn't flat. What I'm saying is, using only what's highlighted here in the text, what would a person draw a picture of?
They would draw the earth. We know it's not flat.
So you're relying on what we know about the earth. I'm not talking about that. If you told somebody, hey, somebody's taking, so we don't, I guess we have to pretend we don't know it's talking about the earth. So you say to somebody, hey, there's this description where somebody takes an object by its edges and shakes the wicked out of it and says that it takes the shape of clay under a seal. What kind of shape are they going to draw?
So, again, clay can take a round shape under a seal. This doesn't disprove
this thing,
the earth being
this
round.
Is round. This is round, but it's flat. The flat earth is imagined to be a circle-like object, not a sphere.
So if the Bible wants us to know the earth is flat so bad, why wouldn't it just be written? Why wouldn't the authors make it so plainly obvious?
They did. When they said it rests on pillars, when it's covered by a dome, when God drew the circle of, or drew its form like a compass on top of the waters, and when they said that it's like clay under a seal, and that it has edges that can be shaken.
Do you think there's a Greek word?
They made it very
plain.
That? It's also plain that the sun revolves around the earth in the Bible as well.
Where does it say that?
When it says that the sun stopped moving around the earth for a day so that Jacob could slaughter a bunch of children or whatever they were doing.
Okay, so I'm positive there's a Greek word for the word flat. And if there is, why is it not shown in the Bible?
Probably because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew.
Okay. Do you think there's a Hebrew word for flat?
Yeah, probably.
So why didn't they use that in the Bible?
They probably didn't think they needed to, because when they said that the earth takes the form like clay under a seal, everybody knows that's what flat is. You ever see people do the wax thing with letters? That's what a seal is.
And they don't make it flat. They don't press it down.
What are you talking about?
Base.
Yes, they do. Have you ever seen one of those things before? Or like in ancient times, they would press, you'd have like a medallion. It's kind of like making a coin. They would press medallions into clay, and that could serve as an insignia. It could serve as a, like something to mark you as an official. It could serve to just be decorative or whatever. That's flat. This is flat. This thing right here.
Right, but the word flat is never used, and they have
a
Hebrew word for flat.
There's all kinds of things in your Bible that you have to say, look, it never specifically says this exact thing, but that's what the verse means. There's lots of that in the Old and New Testament.
Because the writers are very literal in many places.
Except when they're not.
Because that's not what it means. You're making it something it's not.
Buddy, if anybody read this and they said, oh, they grab it by the edges, they shake it, and it takes the form that clay takes under a seal, you're not getting anything other than flat in that. You're not getting a sphere in that. It just isn't going to happen.
I guess.
Right. So, now what?
I don't know. I don't know where you're going with this. Why does the shape of the earth even matter?
Well, I think that a society that believes in really, like, you can only believe something that wrong and stupid if you suppress yourself or brainwash yourself. And those just aren't very healthy, prosperous societies.
Do all atheists agree with your worldviews?
Well, definitely. Do all atheists agree with all of my worldviews? No, there are no two people that agree on everything.
So who decides what's correct?
Rational minds.
On atheism.
There's no such thing as on atheism. Atheism isn't something you use to do things. That's like saying my favorite TV channel is when the TV isn't turned on. You use other things,
atheism,
like empiricism, naturalism. Whatever.
I'm just referring to people who don't believe in God.
Like you. So how do you navigate the world not believing in Zeus? What is the not believing in Zeus worldview?
The Christian worldview, the worldview that says Zeus is not God.
Zeus isn't God. So I'm a Christian?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't get
where there's no such thing as the worldview when you don't believe in something. That's not a worldview.
So my worldview,
because if that's a worldview, then
says.
You and I are both the same thing, not Zeus's. But that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't understand where you're going with this.
Because you said
my point
how
is that
on atheism do you do things? You don't do things on atheism. You don't do things on not Zeus. Do you live in Poland? Probably not. So you live
no,
in a not
Christians
Poland
live
you live in a
universal.
Not Poland country or state? No, there's no such thing as a not Poland country, right?
I don't get what you're saying, to be honest.
There's no such thing as doing something according to atheism. It's nonsensical.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
So atheists don't believe in a god, right? They're anti.
Yeah, I don't believe in Zeus. Neither do you. There's no such thing as a worldview where you don't believe in Zeus. We just went over this. Because if your worldview
yes, there
is.
It's atheism. Do you know what the word
so
atheist
you're an atheist.
Means? I'm a Greek atheist, I guess.
Yes, but do you see how profoundly contradictory and unuseful this is? There's no such thing as I do things according to Zeus not existing. No, you do things according to positive claims or beliefs. So as an atheist,
I mean, you're just
I believe
making up your own definitions right now. Because
no.
If you go to the if you go to a dictionary, I'm going off the dictionary definition of atheist.
Yeah, not believing in God or lacking the belief in God or claiming God doesn't exist. You don't do that's not a framework for doing things. You have to adopt something else. Just like the fact that you don't believe in Zeus isn't a framework for doing anything. you adopt a specific positive framework.
Right.
Which is a framework that has positive claims, I guess.
So I'm a Christian. That is my framework.
That it, if you want to say so, then yeah. Atheism doesn't work like that. This is the non-stamp collector meme. Times.
You're just making your own definitions. You know what atheism is. You're just
yes, I do. I'm not arguing with you what atheism is. I'm telling you, atheism isn't a framework that you do things with.
Yes, it is. I mean, you're relying on the idea that there's no God, right?
I don't rely on not believing in God to do anything. I rely on positive axioms to do that.
Okay. So who decides that's the correct way of thinking? Okay, who decided that's the right way of thinking?
The rational minds collectively came to that conclusion. They were not forced into it. They were not coerced into it. It was the most obvious thing they all could have found. When people look at the sky and they all say that it's blue, nobody's being forced to do anything. Now, what if one person says, the sky looks yellow? What's going on here? Oh, it turns out that they have some form of color blindness. Rational minds figured that out. It's not that deep.
So do you think it'd be a circular argument, right?
What is a circular argument?
An argument that relies on itself.
No, I know. That's not what I meant. That was the correct response, I guess, but that's not what I meant. What am I saying that's circular? Rational minds determine what is rational?
Yeah.
Okay. You're telling me that we shouldn't use reason to justify the reasoning process. That is a yes, it's circular in the sense that it's recursive. Well, let me apologize. But if I want to adopt the opposite, then that's the implication of your criticism. So if you're going to tell me that we can't use reasons to justify reason, you can't do that without giving me reasons. So this is just collapsed. So yeah, reasoning is recursively circular. It just works that way. So is grammar. Why are the things that I'm saying grammatically valid? Because grammar says so. Words determine what words mean. And so, yep, that's just how it works.
So you do admit that we rely on our own thinking for a basis of rationality, right?
Yeah, even the Christian does that.
Well,
unless,
no.
Unless you think God or Satan is doing your thinking for you.
Yeah, God does all the thinking for a Christian.
You're serious?
Yes.
You don't have thoughts? God has your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about morality and what is.
So you don't believe in anything? God has your beliefs for you?
Yes.
So then when people go to hell, it's because God made them believe in the things that make them go to hell?
That is actually true, yes.
You're a Calvinist?
Yes, actually. I'm surprised you got that.
Fucking A.
Okay, you want me to explain that one?
No.
Okay. I could give you the actual biblical reason. So then when a Christian comes up here and tells you something
crazy. And I could
crazy,
give you the contradiction to it because your book is riddled with contradictions. You know the woman that tugs on Jesus's or no, that's not her. No, wait. Yeah, that is the woman that tugs on. Yeah, and he says, you are saved by grace alone, not your faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then doesn't Jesus cure a leper because his friends have faith? I think there's two of these stories. Jesus helps somebody else, and he says, it is because of your friend's faith that I am choosing to save you or whatever. So if there are exceptions, then it's not a rule.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not sure what scripture you're citing, but
I'll try to pull it up here. Yeah, there are two passages. The paralytic lowered through the roof in Mark 2. And when Jesus saw their faith, so his friends were helping lower the guy into the building, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then the centurion's servant, this one I don't remember. "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." And the servant benefits from another person's faith. Okay, so that's another one. Jesus heals the centurion's servant because of the centurion's faith. And then Jairus's daughter. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that one is explaining the centurion has faith in Jesus being able to heal him. So because of centurion one's faith, he saved his buddy.
Yeah, that looks like it's talking about a healing. So I actually would not use that as a strong one, but Mark is absolutely very strong. He forgave a person's sins because of their friend's faith. So anyways, like I don't want to have a theological conversation about Calvinism. I just don't find it all that interesting. So I think we've been talking for 45 minutes. I think that'll do.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Well, thank you for not being rude or anything, because the chat's kind of rude.
Yeah.
You know, most people cuss and
yeah. Whatnot. Yeah, I like them.
Huh.
Get a free book, 2 free audiobooks, and ad-free videos by becoming a Patreon member.